Okay. Miss Nancy's got something to say.
Good morning, everybody. Glad you're all here in the presence of the Lord. Several years ago, we started the change offering. Change makes a difference. And that's not only in our lives, but that's in everything we do, every place we go. Change. If I go down here in Johnson City and stop off at one of those corner night joints, and then I come in here on Sunday morning, I could be changed, but I have to come in a place to be changed. So 10 weeks ago, I took our change bucket to the bank. We had a record offering, and I was so very happy with that, because without your change, my change is going to be a little bit, whether it's in my life or whether it's in my change that I put in these little buckets. As a whole, we make a big change. And as each one of you give to these little kids as they come up on Sunday morning, I'm presenting to the church this morning that 10 weeks ago we turned in an offering at the bank. I brought it to Dan. 10 weeks later, I took the money to the bank, and I'm bringing to present before the church in 10 weeks, $750.
Bring some mics up, John, for the kids.
Okay. While they're getting those mics, we're going to stand and sing together, a congregational this morning, 393 in your book, 393. Let's all stand.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread on streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Come on up, kids.
Hey, Scott, if you have that picture that I sent you, you could throw it up there now.
Okay. She can see one leg. She can see one leg.
Peace like a river, like a peace like a river. Peace like a river in my soul. Like a peace like a river, like a peace like a river. Peace like a river in my soul.
All right, congregational, 230 in your book, 230. You'll turn there and stand with me. We're going to sing two verses this morning of Deeper, Deeper. Two verses, first and the fifth verse.
Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and wiser every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper.
Okay. Hang on just a minute. I want to make this announcement. We're starting something new so that you can see the words up here on the front when we're singing this song. And for you who don't have a book or choose not to get a book, you'll be able to see the words here too. But if you want to sing out of the book, that's fine. I just wanted to let you know we're starting that, okay? There we go.
Verse 5. Deeper, deeper in the faith of Jesus, holy faith and true. In his power and soul exalting wisdom, let me peace pursue. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word.
Amen. You may be seated. Come on up, choir.
book over there if somebody wants it. Like, if somebody want to vote. We have that book over here, please.
That's not our track. Our track is sounded fun though, didn't it? Maybe we'll do that next time. I think it's track 57.
Away, oh Jesus, oh.
Good morning.
Morning.
Now, as you know, when you try something new and different, it doesn't always go off the way you want it to at first. But we're going to try to put the words up on this front screen of the songs that the congregation sings, and also of the song that the choir is going to sing, just like we would see it on the back screen. Because we want you to be able to see the words, sing the words if you want to. You might not be in the choir, but you'd be back there singing. So we're going to try to do that. Oh, mercy, that took a lot to say. Now, would you stand just a moment and turn around and shake hands with the person behind you? That's every other row, by the way. Okay, did you shake hands with her? Yeah. Did you shake hands with her? Okay, did everybody shake hands with somebody? How many did not get their hand shook? Missy, did you get your hand shook? She shook her head. Oh, she did. Rhonda shook your hand, right? Then Stacy. Yeah, okay. I'm not coming back there, Missy. Okay, it's okay to do stuff like this. It gets us to finding out that conversation is really important, and it's good. Amy's going to share a song with us now.
Can we do that first?
Okay, we can do that first. Would the ushers come forward? We'll receive our offering. Then that way she'll have a reason to sing. Right? Yeah. Have to put Chris to work. Okay. Bless this offering, brother. Amen.
Sing a new song. Well, I've sang it once. We've had so many different songs this morning, though. I want you to pray for me, because right now the tune of the song is not even coming to my mind. So I hope when the music starts that I'll remember what it should sound like. It's a great song. we're living in a time where it's hard. It's hard. But his name, Jesus. If you're in trouble, you pray in his name. If you want to give thanks, you praise his name. It's all about him. Sweeter than the morning or the sound of the rain, from the mouth of the preacher and the sinner the same. Tender as a whisper, but loud in its refrain. May it hang on my lips for the rest of my days. There is something about the name of Jesus. It sounds like forgiveness, sounds like amazing grace. It beckons my soul to sing forever. There's just something about that name. We pray it over family when we rise and when we sleep. We speak it over sorrow, and the soul is given peace. We'll sing it in the famine or in prosperity. May we never forget that he is all that we need. There is something about the name of Jesus. It sounds like forgiveness, sounds like amazing. Something about that name. There is still no other name. You still have the power to save. You can empty any grave. Forever, Jesus, it's your name.
I think everybody agrees with that. Oh, I almost don't want to preach this message now. But since God gave it to me, I got to preach it, right? Because you might not be where that song took us. If you're a child of God and you know him and love him and appreciate everything he's been to you, I think you went in to that song and it blessed you. It could be that that's not where you are today. It could be that that's where you were, but that's not where you are today, and there's a difference. Well, we're going to see what happens when we get to that point in Jeremiah chapter 2 in verse 13. Are you there? Jeremiah 2:13. And then I'm going to take you down to Jeremiah 2:19. But if you'll just go with 13 first of all, let's pay attention, close attention to verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, number one. Let's hear the first evil first, okay? Let's hear it again. It's important to hear it again because somebody here today needs to know that you're not where you used to be. Not in your heart do you feel the love you used to feel. And he says, it's an evil for us to forsake the living God, the fountain of living waters. Because that's what we had that put us where we were. We partook of that fountain of living waters at one time in our life, and we were never the same after that. Never. He said, oh, but there's two evils. Not only are you forsaking the fountain of living waters, but you do then the only thing you can do after you've forsaken the fountain of living waters. You have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, not just cisterns. Everybody knows what a cistern is, right? It's a water catcher. First of all, he mentioned the fountains of living water. Now he's talking about something totally different. Oh, it's totally different. It's a cistern. But it's a broken cistern. And because it's a broken cistern, it can't hold water. It can hold no water. Look at verse 19 now, if you would. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter. He added that in this time. And bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. I'm not who I used to be to you. You don't think of me the way you used to think of me. You don't fear me. I don't stand in awe to you. When you see a sunrise, it doesn't grip you and say, my God did that. When you see a beautiful flower in front of you, you don't look at that and say, my God did that. I can take a picture of a flower and zoom it and see all the intricate parts of that. And I know man can't do that. We can put the seed in the ground, but God put the heart in the seed that would come up and show us that. KJ sent me a picture of a sunrise this morning, I guess it was, or was it yesterday morning? She sent me two. She knows how I feel about that. And I saw that and I said, oh, wow, I've been there. I've been there, I know. And I texted her back and I said, you are so blessed to be standing there in person seeing what God created for you. It was just for her standing there. She took the picture. It was for her. And then when you're standing there, you can take the picture, right? But what God did for you, when you realize that your sin would not allow you to see heaven, your sin of unbelief, he took care of that. And he placed within you a fountain that will bubble up forever. Mm. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and ask the Lord to take this message and open our hearts. We're not in any hurry to go anywhere. We're not going to think about going anywhere after we leave here. We're just going to be right here. Just settle in. And you hear what God's got to say. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Jeremiah. We thank you for his prophecy. We thank you, God, that you gave him this for us today, not just the Israelites. Lord, you gave him this for us today. And we're going to leave here praising you. Lord, if we come to where you want us to be today, there'll be no slowing us down in our Christian life. And I praise you for it. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Forsaken. Forsaken. It means to be abandoned or deserted. Now it takes on a different meaning. When we read that, thou hast forsaken thy God, we just read right through it and we read the word forsaken in there with it. But then we got to stop. We got to pull the word forsaken out and we got to inspect it and see what it means. It means that you have abandoned God. It means that you have deserted God. There's a punishment for desertion. If parents desert their children, there is a law against that. If a soldier deserts his outfit, there's a rule of law about that. You can't get by with it. But I think it goes deeper than just the law. I think it goes into what you know you're responsible for, and you gave up your responsibility. And no matter what kind of personality you have, you always know that you're supposed to keep your responsibility to whomever you've given it to. If you've given your responsibility to your children, you can't walk off from your children. How could a parent walk off from a precious child? Look at all these children we have around here. You couldn't walk off from that child. But people do it. And I know that no matter how they seem to have accepted it and went on with their life, it will eat away their life that they deserted their children. And if a soldier deserts his outfit, he may not get caught. He may go off the grid and they may not ever find him. But it'll eat him alive. If a husband deserts his wife, it'll eat him alive because he took on a responsibility that he deserted the one he gave an oath to. Whew. Vice versa, a wife may desert her husband. It'll eat away her life. There's different ways you can desert, by the way. There's different ways you can forsake. There is a physical forsaking. Then there is a private forsaking. You see, physical is that public desertion. People will know you deserted. You desert your family, they'll know you deserted your family because it'll be everywhere in no time. And nowadays, it could be on Facebook tomorrow. It could be over the whole world that you deserted your family. But there is a private desertion that goes on that some people will never know. And maybe that's the desertion we're talking about today. You see, that's a desertion of the heart. Some people can leave a situation and they not be gone. Did I say that okay? You can leave in the heart, but physically you're there. I think that's true. And I know I've touched on the prodigal son lately. I'd like to touch on the prodigal son just for a second. Because, you see, the prodigal son physically deserted his family, his dad. It comes down to his dad. He deserted him. He took off. He wasn't supposed to leave. He had a responsibility to be a part of that family. He was. But he forsook his family. Publicly, he did that. But his older brother did it differently. He did it privately. He stayed at home, but he deserted the value of his family. He deserted the concept of the family. He did. You see, we're talking about a backslider in heart. That's what happens when you forsake. The course of the backslider is not like that. It is gradual. The prodigal son left days or months before he actually left. He knew he was leaving, so it was a gradual thing. And we also know that it was a gradual thing before he got to the hog pen. He didn't just end up at the hog pen the day that he left. He lived those days that took him to the hog pen. But the hog pen was the place where he remembered. Don't let that slip by, please. God has dealt with me this week with this message, and I don't want that to slip by you. I want this to be your hog pen. I don't want Liberty Fellowship to be some pretty building where we come and we have beautiful songs and we have a Sunday school and we have children. We have all those elements that just thrill our hearts. I want this to be your hog pen if you're not right with God. I want you to see this as your hog pen where you will remember what you had and now what you have.
Amen.
So let's get there, okay? If I took you back to the farm where the prodigal son grew up, I could name all the things that were important to you when you grew up at home. There were some elements of home that were really sweet and nice and everything. You remember how your parents took care of you? You never had to think about being taken care of. You were warm. You were fed. Everything was good. You didn't mind even doing a few chores around the house. You might have griped a little bit, but you didn't mind because you knew that was part of your family. That's what you did as family. And as a family of God, we have a responsibility to be what we said we would be when we ask Him to save us and take us to heaven.
Amen.
But then things happen, just like other relationships. We get complacent. As some kids say nowadays, I'm bored. I hate it when kids say that. I never remembered being bored as a child. I was just glad to be alive, living the dream, rolling my old caissons around. You know what a caisson is. Just going down to the river, going out in the field and laying down, looking up at the sky, and just simple stuff. I enjoyed that. And I remember when I got saved, how everybody looked, how I felt. When you get saved, you know how you felt. And what's going to happen is when you get complacent, and you can, if you don't stay in the Word and you don't stay where God wants you to be, you can get complacent. And after a while, the sky doesn't look the same anymore. Rolling the caissons not enough for you. Playing with the other children in the neighborhood? No, that's not enough. Nothing seems to be enough anymore because you haven't stayed close to the one who gave you the fountain that fed your soul.
Amen.
The thing that woke you up. Whew. Well, verse 3 gives us what he's talking about here in recollecting the happy past that they had. Verse 3 says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Now that's where they were. And to be honest with you, I can understand that. That's where I was. When I got saved, I was holiness unto the Lord. I don't mean that I was something. I mean he made me feel that way. When he gave me that fountain of living water, it made me feel like I was holiness unto the Lord and that I was the first fruits of his increase. I felt that way. That's what they were. I remember how I felt. And I remember over the years of getting myself in a position where I didn't feel that way anymore. And it bothered me. It wasn't that I physically got there. I was still singing in the choir. I would do a special song in the church. I would even stand in the pulpit and preach. But it wasn't where in my heart, privately, I wasn't where I needed to be and wanted to be. I want that more than anything. I want that more than I want the physical. I want that private fellowship with God. Don't you? And we need that as an individual. We need to get back to that. He gave us that. When we took on the relationship accepting His Son as our Savior, then He gave us the fellowship, that beautiful, warm fellowship that just hovers in our soul. And this is not just the young people that got saved. This is the older people that got, might have been a young convert or a young Christian. So it doesn't have to be a young person that we're talking about here. Our prayer is today that we recall that early devotion that we had toward God, and it was a devotion. I knew, don't you remember how devoted you were to Him? You couldn't please Him enough. Amen? You couldn't please God enough. So you were devoted to Him. And that it would bring us out of this complacent place that maybe we have gotten in our hearts. When we received this freshness, love that word fresh. I love to go into a grocery store and go to the where the vegetables are. That's one of my favorite places. I love to walk through the carrots and the cabbage and the lettuce and the cucumbers and all that good stuff, you know. And they put the mist out on it. Boy, when that mist flies out on that stuff, it just looks like a Garden of Eden in the vegetable area. Right? It is. Well, it's like going through the, it's not a vegetable area, what do they call it? Produce. That's another word. I don't use produce a lot. I use vegetables. But I go through the produce area. You know, when we get into this place like this, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He took me through the produce department. Yeah. He let me see everything so fresh and so clean and so crisp and so good. That's where I was. And that's where you were also. That was salvation, folks. That's what it was to get saved. Sometimes we can explain salvation a little bit differently, and that's how I'm explaining it today. That God's freshness, His love and His kindness came into my life, and it was like the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
I know how Adam felt then. Israel was faithful to God at that time, and they knew the faithfulness of God in their lives. And you were faithful when you got saved, and you knew the faithfulness of God in your life. You knew that He would not desert you. You knew He would not forsake you because He said He wouldn't. I'll never forsake you, not even to the end of the world. And you knew that. You could depend on that. And you wanted Him to feel like He could depend on your faithfulness too. And then we got to that place where we just weren't there anymore. When we got up and went to church, it was just getting up and going to church. It wasn't getting up and just couldn't wait to get there and hear the Word of God and hear the songs that thrilled our hearts again. There was a song sung, and I know I do the same things all the time. It's not because I'm old. It's not because I'm losing my mind. It's because those things meant something to me. When I was a little fellow over there on the south side of Irwin, a quartet used to sing a song called That Man from Galilee. I was a kid, but I remember I loved That Man from Galilee. It wasn't the song. I fell in love with the man from Galilee.
Amen.
And I'm still in love with the man from Galilee.
Amen.
And I want to be everything that He wants me to be. And I just want to feel that happy. Just like the kids when they sing, I'm so happy. And you can hear them singing that, and you, those little voices and everything. It just thrills your heart, doesn't it? When they do that. Well, why don't you sing it? Not now. But sing, be able to sing that in your heart every day. I'm so happy. I'm so happy because I know Him. In the morning when you get up after this message today, I think you'll get up and want to sing, I'm so happy. I hope and pray that that's where you are. But verse 2, he says this, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. And then he says this, and this is the key to this verse, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. That's where you were when you got saved. You went after Him. Yeah. Oh, He come for you, but then you went after Him because your soul was thirsty. You wanted a drink of that fountain that He had. You couldn't drink enough. And by the way, it never stopped, and you could drink all you wanted to. So when you were saved, you were going after Him. You wanted to know more and more about Him. Is that not where we want to be today? That when we come to the house of God, we want more and more and more of Him? Because that's what He's saying here. He says, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. It wasn't a beautiful building that you were in. It was just a place you were in with me, and it made a difference. Mercy, I better hurry. Our memory should bring us back to being in a place where we can be profitable for God. Amen. And if we don't have that we got at first, we're not going to be profitable for Him. Right. Have you left your first love? Have you left your first love? You all know the song, There Is a River? Let me share it with you. I asked Scott to do this. Don't want you looking back. Just want you looking to me just a minute. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. Get with me. There is a fountain, and it frees the soul from sin. So come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Now there was a thirsty woman, and she was drawing from her well. Oh, her life was ruined and wasted, and her soul was bound for hell. Oh, but she met the Master. And He told her of her great sins. And He said, if you'll just drink of this water, you will never, ever thirst again. Never. Is that not where we want to be? Thank you, Scott. But then we act foolish. The foolish step of forsaking and hewing. That doesn't fit with where I said we were when we got saved, does it? Forsaking and hewing? But that's what happened in verse 13. They forsook the fountain of living water. The source of true satisfaction of our souls. Taking you back to the soul right here just a minute. The true satisfaction of our souls. Folks, we're living in a world that's not satisfied. There's no satisfaction in this world. The only satisfaction you'll have is inside your heart. I don't care where you go in this world, you're not going to see satisfaction, and you're not going to feel satisfaction from this world. You can only know satisfaction when it comes from the source of satisfaction, and that is the fountain of living waters. It is evil to forsake the God of heaven who offers eternal life as a fountain of living water. That's spiritual refreshment, folks. Spiritual refreshment. Remember, we're a spirit that possesses a body. We are not a body that possesses a spirit. Know who you are. You're a spirit. You just possess a body. And he supplies all the spiritual satisfaction that a person needs. The soul has a thirst. Living waters have elements of life that science cannot explain. I know we're living in an educated world. I know we have a reason for everything. We have an educated reason for everything. And you go to a school of higher learning, and they'll tell you that they have an answer for your question. And they'll get a textbook out, and they'll give you a textbook answer. And somehow or other, that textbook answer may fit good on the test when you take it so you can pass, but it won't explain what happened to you. Science cannot explain what happened to you when you gave your heart and life to the Lord. It cannot. And let's not fool our children. Let's make sure our children have their heads on straight. As my dad used to say, when they go to school, don't believe everything that goes in the textbook. I remember writing answers to textbooks out here at ETSU to a test that I knew wasn't the answer in my life, but it was the answer they wanted. Elements. In that living water that can heal you. Sometimes the doctor can give you a prescription that'll make you feel better. It may even heal you. But this elements I'm talking about, it'll make you whole. Because the spiritual things are tied to your soul. Science can't do anything about your soul. But your needs are greater than the needs of this world. You may think you need to go to the grocery store. And Doris does every other Friday. You may think you need to go there. And you probably do to get the things you need for your kitchen. But it can't meet the real needs of your soul. Where you have a thirst that this world can't fill. And then we get to the second part of that verse when he talks about how the fountain of life, God himself, came into your life and just overwhelmed you, made you know where you really were. Then you knew you were accepted in this world. The reason he brought you into this world is so that you could know him. The reason he brought you in is not so you could have a life and get a job and get married and have kids and all the things that we think life is. That's our life here. That's our public. There is a private life with him. We can publicly let the people know about our private relationship with him and our private fellowship. You can do that. Yes, and we ought to. But we have a private fellowship with him. He touches our hearts. But then when we forsake him and everything he is, we do the other evil. We hew out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Don't mistake that. I know I'm running out of time, but I don't care right now. You don't either, do you? Because God has your attention, God has our attention, and we're going to finish this. Here's what it's, and he hewed them out, them. You'll always hew the cistern out for you. You'll think you know how much of whatever is needed in your life. So you'll hew that cistern out so that it has all everything in it. But what happens is when you hew that out, you hew it out with, it's a frail cistern. It's never well enough to take you into an eternal spot. Never. It's frail. In fact, it's broken. Yep. It's broken while you're fixing it. While you're hewing it, you break it. Because that's all we can do is mess things up. And it can't hold water. What do you need in this life? You need a drink of water? When you need a drink of water, what kind of water do you want? Do you want the water that the lady at the well got from her well that didn't satisfy her? And God says, well, if you'll just take this water, you can be satisfied. And he wants us satisfied. So they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. When man forsakes God, he's going to hew out a cistern. He will hew him out a cistern. A frail piece of stuff that he thinks is going to hold all the water that he needs for his life. And it's the exact opposite of the fountain. The exact opposite. Think about it. In the cistern, there is no movement of the water. It just sits there. Can you tell me what happens to water that does not move? It gets stale and stagnant. Then what? It stinks. If you've ever been around a stagnant pool of water, you know it stinks because things that are in it are dead. Just the opposite of what God gave you when he gave you a drink from his fountain. He gave you living water. It's always moving. Oh, my favorite story about water is the Banner Springs in Irwin. When as a kid I used to run down the hill. NFS owns it now. But I used to run down there and stick my head. I'd go across those old big flat, cold, wet rocks. I'd skip across those with my bare feet, and I'd get back to where the water came out of the mountain there, and I'd stick my face in that. There was a dipper hanging up there for the community. And it wasn't because I didn't trust the community. I just didn't want the dipper. I wanted to stick my face in it. And you know, sometimes I just want to stick my face in those living waters that God gave me. I want to drink of that so that I can be satisfied with that spiritual water that he's got for me. Because I remember the first drink I ever took and it satisfied me. And I want to be in a satisfying place with him. I want my life to be everything it can be for him. But if I hew out a cistern, I'm not going to get that. I'm going to get stale water because it's... After you drink all you can drink and you think there's more, you find out there is no more because it's all gone. And there'll come a place in your life when you'll say, I need more to life than what I've got right now. I'm dry and I am thirsty. I'm not where I need to be. I need another drink of water. You won't get it from the cistern. You can only get it from the fountain if you want to be satisfied. Why would a person forsake the fountain of living waters and think that they can get their needs met from a cistern? Why? Well, I don't know. It just boggles my mind that that's where we get, but we do. But I want you to know there is a remedy for where you are today. I would not let you leave here without letting you know there is a remedy. And the remedy is not in chapter 2. The remedy is in chapter 3. Now, if I can get Scott to throw up chapter 3, we'll see some verses here that'll let us know what you have to look forward to. In chapter 3, verse 12, I'm just going to give you these words. In chapter 3, verse 12, he says, I am merciful. Amen. Even though you pitched that fountain of springs to the side, deserted it and forsook it, I am merciful. Verse 13, he says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Acknowledge what you did. Because it's an evil thing to forsake God, the one who loved you so much. He said, only acknowledge thine iniquity, and thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Then he says, turn. You always got to turn. You got to go back. You got to get back to where you need to be. He said, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. There's that one other little phrase I want to bring to you, and that's in chapter 3, verse 22. He said, I will heal your backslidings. He healed David's. David was backslidden. It bothered him. He publicly backslid on God. And God said, David, I love you. You're a man after my own heart. Now, some of you have never done what David did. So if he can say, you're a man after my own heart, and I love you, and I'll forgive you, he can forgive you for forsaking him. Why don't you do that today? Come to the place where you can rejoice today. It's important that you do. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're so grateful for you pointing out the fact that we can get to a place where we could forsake you, the one who loved us so much. And Lord, I just want that heart that's hurting today. I know, Lord, that if they have forsaken you and not been where they know that you brought them to, I know their heart's hurting, God. I want their heart not to hurt anymore. I don't want them overwhelmed with the pain and the hurt of a heart. And I pray, oh God, that you'll give them the courage to step out from where they are and come forward and say, oh God, forgive me. I want to be back where I know I need to be. And we'll praise you for everything you do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please. If you need to make that decision, make it right now. I'll meet you right here at the front. Don't leave. Never more to roam. No, you don't want to roam anymore. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Sing another verse of that, Tom. You need to do what's necessary to get you back where you need to be. Only you can do it. He won't do it past your will. Sing that chorus. Home, coming home. The prodigal son was tired when he got to the hog pen. No doubt about it. He was tired of the life that he'd lived. He knew there was a better life. He'd been there. He just walked away from it. Why? He knows now. He's at the hog pen. And boy, was he tired. But he knew that there was a possibility of forgiveness back home. But what he didn't know when he took off from the hog pen toward home, he didn't realize that when he got close enough to see the house, the Father would be coming out toward him. He thought he'd just walk down the road and go up to the front door and knock. His father had been looking for him all along because he knew his son's heart. Whew. He knows his children's heart. He does. And I don't want our hearts to hurt today. I want our hearts to be where they need to be so that we can just come in praising God for everything he is to us. God bless you, church. Hope you'll come back tonight.